Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. We built Entree Architect Academy for you, the small firm architect, with the business resources and training you need, and a community of supportive, friendly, sharing architects just like you. Entree Architect Academy. To learn more, go to the homepage at entrearchitect.com. You're listening to Entree Architect Podcast, and this is episode 171. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. The National Council of Architectural Registration Boards, also known as NCARB, is a nonprofit organization made up of architectural licensing boards of 54 states and territories. While each jurisdiction is responsible for regulating the practice of architecture within its borders, NCARB develops and administers programs for licensure candidates and architects throughout the nation. Our community of small firm architects is filled with people with very mixed feelings toward NCARB. Many see the benefits NCARB provides all architects, while some question the process and procedures required by the organization, and others have questions about whether NCARB is even relevant in our profession, whether small firms see any benefit to membership and certification. In short, our community of entrepreneur architects have many questions for the leadership at NCARB. So this week at Entree Architect Podcast, I'm sharing an interview that I conducted with both the current NCARB president as well as the incoming president. I asked our community for questions, and during the AIA Conference on Architecture live in Orlando, Florida, right there on the expo floor, I asked your questions. This week at Entree Architect Podcast, how does NCARB serve the small firm architect? With Christine Harding and Greg Ernie of the National Council of Architectural Registration Boards. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, FreshBooks, NCARB, BQE Software, and RCAT. FreshBooks, get organized, save time invoicing, and get paid faster. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/freshbooks. And NCARB, helping architects reach their career goals. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/NCARB. And BQE Software, the makers of ArchiOffice, office and project management software designed specifically for architects. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/BQE. and ARCAT, the leading online resource for free building product information. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/ARCAT. Christine Harding and Greg Ernie, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Good morning, Mark.
We are recording live here today from sunny Orlando at the 2017 Conference on Architecture at the NCARB booth here on the Expo floor. NCARB is a platform sponsor of Entree Architect, so I want to say thank you for supporting small firms and the things we're doing at Entree Architect. Your support means a lot to us, and I'm glad that we can help you sort of spread your word to our community here at Entree Architect.
Absolutely.
Christine is an architect based in Alabama, currently the president of NCARB. NCARB is the National Council of Architectural Registration Boards. And Greg is also an architect based in Nevada, not Nevada, a small firm owner, so that's
yes,
good.
Sir.
So welcome. The community welcomes you. And the incoming president-elect here at NCARB. So it's a pleasure to have you both here with me. I appreciate you taking the time out and spending some time with us. Let's start, like I always start here at Entree Architect Podcast, origin story. Go back to where you discovered architecture, what inspired you to become an architect, and give us that story, that journey from that point to where you find yourself today here at NCARB.
Well, Mark, I grew up in Texas, and my parents always had a small piece of property, and my mother was always using graph paper to kind of draw the floor plans, and I started doing that as well. And one day I was standing in the kitchen, and I was a sophomore in high school, and she said, "You need to be an architect." And I said, "What is that?" She said, "Go to the dictionary and look it up." But anyway, I started taking drafting in high school, and just fell in love with it, especially because they really focused on buildings and not just mechanical drafting. And so when I decided to go to college, I chose Rice University and studied architecture there. And it was a passion that grew. I mean, I think that all of my professors helped me grow that passion. Eventually, I ended up in Huntsville, Alabama. And fortunately, I worked for a small firm who had a really good transition plan and grew my experience and my leadership into being able to be president of that firm and take over the firm one day.
Great. And Greg?
Well, I'm from a very small rural town in southern Indiana, so there aren't a lot of great architectural works in my town. But one of my earliest, memories of coming, at least in recognizing that there's a world of architecture, may have been playing in my grandfather's barn and being fascinated by the way that these old timbers of the barn had been put together with a lot of handiwork and craftsmanship, and not a single nail or bolt. They were all wooden pegs. And from there, I come from a background also of a family of people who were involved in construction. So I was involved and around construction sites growing up. And much like Christine, I started down that path in high school, taking drafting classes and things like that. And wound up going to Ball State University in Indiana and persevering through a five-year program and then moving to Reno, Nevada after I graduated and after I got licensed, started my own firm over 30 years ago and
right away?
Been there ever since.
Right away you started? Got your license? And
I worked for a couple of firms, mm-hmm. but one day when during one of the recessionary periods in the early 80s, I was released of my duties at the firm I was working and decided, well, I needed something to do, and I found a little bit of work that grew into more work, and next thing you know, I decided, well, I'm going to just take this on and give it a whirl.
Yeah, I call that an accidental entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
So, but you were both very active at NCARB, right, to get to national level president. How did that journey happen? How did you get involved at NCARB at a local level to move through the process?
Well, I think not many people know this, but 13 years ago, I was appointed to our state registration board by the governor of Alabama. And that's really how you started NCARB, because when you become a member of your registration board, you are then, as a registration board, a member of NCARB. And I'd always been a certificate holder, but I never realized that that was really the, you know, the how you actually became a member. So I served on our registration board for 12 years, and through that came up through the leadership of the region in NCARB, and then ultimately at the board level.
Mine starts getting involved in the local AIA chapter, and I became the president of the chapter, president of the state. And when I got through that journey in AIA, a spot on the state board opened up, and I was offered the spot by the governor. And got onto the board, and much like Christine, chaired the board, then got involved in NCARB and committee work. That led me to get involved in the regional level of NCARB, and just have kind of found a home in this organization and the work that it does in facilitating licensure and protecting the public. So
let's talk about that a little bit. Let's get basic first with NCARB. What actually is NCARB? And maybe you can talk a little bit about the history of NCARB and how that happened and why it happened.
Well, in 2019, we're going to celebrate 100 years. And so in 1919, at an AIA convention in Nashville, Tennessee, 13 states came together and decided that it would be really good to combine and begin an organization or an association that helped facilitate licensure and reciprocity among the states. And so that's grown to where we have 54 jurisdictions, which is all of our 50 states, Guam, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, and the District of Columbia. So those 54 jurisdictions are all members, and we work together to try to help reciprocal licensure across state lines and to also promote the experience, education experience, and examination for an architect.
And the need to practice across state lines is, and the reciprocity benefit that NCARB has brought to the world of architecture goes back to its initial roots. It's always been one of its foundations. That those 13 states, back in the earliest days of licensure, the states started adopting regulations for the practice, and then neighboring states started doing the same thing. And the architects started thinking that, well, I want to practice next door in the next state. And so they started getting together and offering mutual recognition sort of arrangements that then grew to a regional sort of a basis. And so the states working together and then working in regional formats kind of grew into that, what Christine talked about, the whole national program for providing reciprocity for licensure across all 54 jurisdictions.
Entree Architect is all small firms. That's our whole community, mostly 15-member firms and less. Overwhelming majority are sole practitioners and firms of less than five. What specifically does NCARB do for those small firm architects that may be different than, you know, the large firms or even mid-sized firms? Is there any difference with small firms? Is there any benefit that they receive?
Well, I think that one of the most important things for small firms is the fact that there's an experience program, so it really is identifying those young professionals that are seeking experience within a firm. And I think for small firms and for the young professionals, that's a great environment, because you pretty much, as yeah. Greg will tell you, you pretty much have to do it all. And so you're gonna get a broad experience within a small firm. And I'll let Greg talk about his experience.
Well, I'm one of those under five member firms. My firm is four. We've always been in the five to six person range. Currently we're four. But I think one of the benefits that I've always felt that NCARB, I guess, indirectly provided is because of the programs of experience and education, when you looked at somebody's credential and you were looking to hire someone within the firm, as Christine alluded to, you need to be able to cook, do dishes, and fold the laundry, as we call it in our firm, because we everyone's doing a lot of different duties. There is no compartmentalization or specialization within the firm. So you get a broad range of experience. And when you're looking to hire someone, you're looking for someone who has what you a broad background most of the time because of that whole need to be able to do multitude of tasks. So when you look at someone's resume and you understand where they are in the path to licensure, you can kind of tell that where they are in terms of their experience capabilities and what they may be able to contribute. And then from that matter, for that matter, you also need to know where you need to be able to offer them some additional opportunities so that they can help not only help themselves but contribute broader and better to the firm.
When I was licensed, I was licensed just before IDP, Intern Development Program, was required. So I just missed that. Throughout my career, I've been working with IDP, with employees and people within the community. IDP is no longer in existence. It's replaced by the AXP, the Architectural Experience Program, and a new thing called Portfolio, which more experienced design professionals can now use their experience towards that AXP. Is it a certification or is it a...
Well, it's just experience.
The experience. So can you talk about why that switch and what's different between, or is it just a name change? Because, and we can talk about the whole word intern as well. The word intern is also gone. We're not using intern throughout the profession, essentially. So maybe talk about the AXP and the whole intern word and what NCARB might be using instead of intern. That's a question that the community has asked us.
Well, first of all, I mean, all of the programs with NCARB are around a one word. For instance, the ARE, which we've all been using for years, is our examination directorate. And so we began to look at kind of rebranding all of our programs to follow that. So that's one reason why we said AXP really falls more within our directorate as an experience part of the program. And of course, we did a future title task force to look at the term intern and just to explore what the reasons were for using that. And what we came to is the fact that it's not a term that's regulated. So we felt like in terms of our jurisdictions that was not a title that anybody needed to regulate. And so we're really leaving that up to the business. If your firm wants to call somebody a project manager, or if your firm wants to call somebody a senior designer or something like that, that's perfectly okay. Just be sure that you're not using a term that might be legislated within your state. But to the point about the portfolio, we realized recently that there's a lot of people that might have even stepped away from the profession, or life got in the way. You know, they started a family, or they might have gotten into a more specialized part of their firm, and now they've got a lot of experience, but they can't step away from that in order to try to document and get more experience, especially now that we've got the 6-month reporting rule. So if you're beyond 5 years and you have experience that you want to report and try to get back into pursuing licensure, you can use this AXP portfolio and you can document your experience that you had years ago. So it's really good for those people that might have gotten into a leadership role in their firm but just can't step away to begin documenting 6 months of experience.
Can you elaborate on the 6-month rule just so people understand what that is?
Well, the 6-month rule is that we at NCARB, within 6 months, and you've got a 2-month grace period after the experience, you need to report your experience. And that's mainly because if you're filling out a timesheet in your firm, do you really remember the following week what kind of what you were working on? So we felt like, you need to document that experience up to the 6 months, and then you've got a couple months afterwards from that time. Otherwise, you'll lose it. And then beyond that, you get 50% up to 5 years. So beyond that 8 months or so, you can get 50% credit. But, you know, the other part of that is that within that time frame, you can also use the app. So you can walk out of a meeting and put down that you had 2 hours of a meeting. And we like to encourage that, because that way then you're really documenting just as soon as you've experienced that that experience.
And the app is available on the website? So yep. Apple, so the app stores, yep. You get the NCARB app.
AXP app.
AXP app. Okay, yeah. Great. We'll have a link on that on the show notes. We'll find that link and have it there. We also have a link to the portfolio directly through Entree Architect as part of the platform sponsorship. If they go to entrearchitect.com/NCARB, it'll take them right to that page so experienced design professionals can go check out what that is and how it works. Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect: RCAT, FreshBooks, NCARB, and BQE Software. You already know all about RCAT and their free BIM objects and their CAD details and their specifications and product information, all free, ready for you to use. Well, today I want to share something new from RCAT. It's called Charette. Charette is a tool for sharing and collaborating with your colleagues and clients online in real time. You can upload photos and files, share specs and product information directly from the RCAT database, as well as from other sources on the internet. I've been playing with Charette in beta for a while now, and it's really cool. And now it's available to you. I encourage you to go check it out. Visit RCAT online and click the Charette icon right there on the homepage. And like everything offered at RCAT, Charette is a free tool for us small firm architects too. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/RCAT. 192 hours. You wish you had that much free time? That works out to about 2 business days every month. And when you're a small firm architect using FreshBooks cloud accounting software, that's the amount of administration time that you could save in 2017. That's time that you can spend doing the things you love, like being an architect. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. Sign up for a free 30-day unrestricted trial and get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, organized, and most importantly, get paid faster. Visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks to access FreshBooks for free. And be sure to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Do you know someone in your firm who's always dreamed of getting licensed, but was unable to complete the experience requirements? Well, maybe that person's you. Now you can get back on track with NCARB's new AXP portfolio. With this option, seasoned professionals can complete the Architectural Experience Program, the AXP, formerly known as the IDP, by submitting an online portfolio. Along with meeting your state's education and examination requirements, the portfolio will help you and your employees get one step closer to becoming a licensed architect. Learn more about NCARB's AXP portfolio at entrearchitect.com/NCARB. One of the most often requested resources here at Entree Architect is project management software. How do we keep our projects and our people organized while we grow as entrepreneur architects? BQE Software, an AIA Advantage partner and the makers of ArchiOffice, will show us how. ArchiOffice is the only office and project management software designed specifically for architects. It will help us manage people and projects and allow us to focus on designing great architecture. Whether you're working remotely or on site, ArchiOffice allows you to monitor the status of your projects and tasks and send out invoices in an accurate and timely manner. Entree Architect podcast listeners can get a fully functional 15-day trial of ArchiOffice today at entrearchitect.com/BQE. RCAT, FreshBooks, NCARB, and BQE Software, please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Yesterday, I'm doing a bunch of Facebook Live here while I'm walking around and throughout the conference. And yesterday, I mentioned that I was coming here today to interview you, And I wanted the community to have an opportunity to ask you questions. And so I asked them what they might want to ask. And so I want to share some of those with you. Eduardo Colon actually asked about that early licensing program, sort of the other side. Portfolio is sort of more for the more experienced design professional. The iPAL, is that what it's called? Is early licensing program. Is that in sort of a beta mode, or is that a full all-out program right now? Can you talk about that program a little bit?
Well, the iPAL, the Integrated Path to Architectural Licensure, is a new program. It's only a few years old, and it's as it stated in the title, an integrated path where education, experience, and the testing are being offered in an educational environment through 17 university programs across the country. And if you're in that program, all the components of education, experience, and testing that you would take in the normal path, in a traditional path to licensure, are contained within the education environment. So that theoretically, upon graduation, you could be a licensed architect if you are able to accomplish and complete all of those tasks while you were in the university environment. So, and these 17 universities have set their programs up such that you will get exposure and the opportunity to succeed within each of those realms while you are there at the university. Now, it doesn't guarantee you're going to be a licensed upon graduation, but you will have the opportunity to succeeded in each of those realms and achieve that upon graduation.
Does NCARB see that as the future? Is this a test to see if that's the way that the future requirements will be handled?
Well, it's an alternative. And I think that one of the things we recognize is that you're going to have to be a very focused person to actually do this, because it's going to embed the experience within your program. And we believe that most of the Bachelor of Architecture programs are going to become they'll become six-year programs, because it's going to take about a year longer in order to do that experience. But I think that what you're going to find is that it's going to be very successful to those who are going to be able to have access to the ARE and take that exam before life gets in the way, before you graduate, before all of a sudden you're going to be in a work environment and procrastination could even set in. So I think that what's going to happen is we're going to begin seeing some metrics that are going to come in the next year or so, and we're going to be able to measure the success of that. And I really do think that the market is going to kind of be market driven as to the success and the people that are going to want to participate in that.
You know, one thing I wanted to add to that is that while there are these 17 programs that offer the IPAL path, they also have a traditional path that didn't go away in each of these university environments. So this is not for everyone, but it is for those who want to have a very, I guess I would call it a structured path. Because one thing, while we may be great, we as professionals may be great at putting things together, we're also maybe not so good at staying on task. We're the eternal procrastinators at times.
And, absolutely.
And so the ability to have a path that's structured that can get you to an end result that you're looking for those who want that end result in an expedited and maybe structured path, I think this will be something that will be very advantageous to them.
Yeah. When I was licensed, I was the first or second year when they started with the computer testing. And so I didn't have to go to the big room and do it one time and, you know, once a year. And so it's very interesting to see the process and the progress of how the testing is going. This is sort of a combination question from Brian Palitz and Sean Tobin. They were talking about CEU tracking and what benefits to certification for those that may not need multi-state licensure. What's the benefit that they may receive from NCARB that others, beyond the obvious?
Well, currently, and I'm not sure if people are very familiar with our monograph series, but we've had for a long time monographs that can get you anywhere from 1 hour to 8 hours to 16 hours worth of health, safety, and welfare continuing education. We're now offering, we've broken those up into mini monographs. We roll one out each month, and that's, you know, that's a benefit to being a certificate holder. You get those free of charge. And personally, we've used those in our library, in our office. They're very informative. There might be low slope roofing, just things that are really good reference materials. But additionally, we are pursuing helping people facilitate the renewal of their license. And we think that because we have a direct relationship with the state boards, that if we can help facilitate that renewal through your certificate, that's going to be a real benefit. But we're in the process of creating some software and being able to launch that in the next couple years. And additionally, we think that at that point, because NCARB is the record, you know, kind of the record-keeping association, we think that as you obtain your continued education, you can send us your AIA transmittal, or you can send us documentation of your CE, and we can keep that as well and then help that as part of the renewal process.
That was exactly Sean's question. Was there any process now or in the future of tracking our continuing education? So it's very easy for states. Different states have different requirements. Here's the file, and here it'll be great. What about construction experience? Kathy Sversi says that she'd like to be able to use some of the construction experience, or maybe even some habitat work that they've done towards experience, towards licensure.
Well, within the existing programs of NCARB and the experience program, construction observation and actual construction time working with a contractor actually counts towards part of the experience, completing part of the experience requirement. And I think it's really great in terms of one of the advantages of being in a small firm is you may be drawing something in the morning and you're going to take it and deliver it into that contractor's hands in the afternoon and then deal with the issue that may have that has occurred on the construction site. So you're constantly getting, even within not necessarily putting hammers to a nail, but getting that construction exposure on a constant basis. So I think one of the advantages of being in a small firm is the hands-on experience that you get throughout the project. And for me, that's always been a very rewarding part of being a small firm practice.
Yeah, I think construction experience is so important. I actually personally feel that construction experience should be a requirement for licensure. I think every architect should swing a hammer and hit a nail, see in the field. And not only about the construction part, but the relationships between architects and contractors, the things you learn on the site about how contractors think about architects, that's so valuable when you become an architect and start interacting with contractors to understand how they think of us. And to be able to interact with them. So it's great to see that construction experience is encouraged and is acceptable as experience.
I'd like to also add that right now the AIAS, which is the student association within the schools, is also doing Freedom by Design. And what we're asking them to do is they need to collaborate with their state boards or with a firm, because they need to be under the responsible control of an architect. But what they're doing is that they're identifying a need within their community, and then they're creating a project that's going to be community-based, and then they're constructing it. So I think that even anybody who's working in a firm, if they wanted to get some hands-on construction experience, they could collaborate with the student organization at the local university and participate in the Freedom by Design program.
That's great. I've seen some of the work that they've done, some of the creations that they come up with. It's really inspiring to see, because they get not only get to build it, but they're designing these.
Exactly.
Really interesting.
And they fulfill a need in the community where they're smaller projects and people are maybe reluctant and are hesitant to get an architect involved because there's maybe a smaller scale, but they tend to provide a very nice solution to a local problem that may not be otherwise attainable in the normal realm of quote-unquote practice, I guess.
Right, right. There's sort of a general feeling, and actually this is a comment that I hear often throughout the community, sort of about the frustration and the struggle of interacting with NCARP and the time that it takes to get things done or the time it takes to file issues. Are there specifics that are happening now or in the future to make that process smoother?
Well, since I've been involved with NCARP for the last 13 years, I have to say that when I first started, there was a real customer service issue that was perception that was going on. And we have been able to, through Greg's and my involvement, really help with the programs to streamline a lot of those processes. So I would just encourage, if somebody hasn't been engaged with NCARP recently, they need to really come back and see how things have improved. But most importantly, the records that you all may have that you might have started years ago, they may still be paper, and if that's the case, we need to convert that to digital, and we're in the process of doing that. But if you have been more recently involved, then everything is right at the fingertips. And for instance, if you do want reciprocity in a neighboring state, sometimes that transmittal will get there in a day. It's greatly improved from years ago.
Great. I encourage everyone who's listening to go to the website. Actually, go through our link so they know that you're coming from us, entrearchitect.com/NCARP, and go see the site, see how it's working, look at the processes. There's links there that you can interact with NCARP and ask questions if you have to or have any specific questions. Go see it and see how it works.
And NCARP has just updated its website. It's brand new look, brand new operationally in terms of its ability to respond to the users who tap into it. And we like to think it's become greatly improved in terms of its user friendliness and much more responsive to those who want to find the information you're talking about.
Great. Let's wrap things up with the future. You know, we talked a lot about the past and how the history of NCARP. We talked about what's happening, talked about a little bit of perception, you know. There's sort of a myth about how NCARP works. They should go check it out. What about the future? What's happening from this point forward that maybe we should be watching out for?
Well, I'll let Greg talk a little bit more about this because he really is the future. And I'm just wrapping up my year as president, but he has asked me to chair a task force next year to look at the next 100 years of NCARP and regulation and just to figure out where regulation's going to be as we enter into more technology. Just what is our practice going to be looking like? What exactly are we regulating? Are we regulating software? Are we regulating the individual? So I'll let Greg talk about where he's going next year.
Well, Christine hit on one of the initiatives we're going to explore as we wrap up our first 100 years. We want to look ahead to the next 100, which in reality will probably happen in the next 10 because technology right. and everything is moving at a much more accelerated pace. So that's why we want to start looking at it now before it's in our past. And one of the things we want to look at in the immediate future is strengthening the whole mentorship supervisor aspect of the experience program. While we've updated and hopefully gotten the things moving better from the candidate's perspective, we also now want to bring all of our experienced practitioners who are the mentors and supervisors and get them involved and more engaged and being more responsive and being of better service to our aspiring architects who are utilizing them for getting through the experience component of the licensure process.
I thank you both for spending some time here. I know you're busy. This is a very busy floor that we see. Before I let you go, I just want to ask the same question that I ask all my guests. What is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I really want to encourage everybody to think about a transition plan and who's going to carry all the efforts and the design and the vision that you've had today into the future. I was a beneficiary of a really good leadership transition plan and carrying the firm forward. I think that everybody needs to have a good one in place.
And for me, don't be scared to go out and participate in projects that are often perceived to be unattainable by a four-person firm. If you're willing to affiliate with other folks and collaborate. In today's world, you can do projects at every arena and every, I guess, respond to every need that architectural services are required these days.
Go visit the website, entrearchitect.com/NCARB. We'll take you right to the portfolio page, and then you can go check out all the rest of what's going on at NCARB. Thank you very much for taking the time with me here today. I appreciate you sharing your knowledge and the history of NCARB here at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much, Mark. It was a pleasure.
If you liked what we shared here today, complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode will be found at entrearchitect.com/episode171. You know, many of the questions I presented to Christine and Greg today were provided by you, members of the Entree Architect community. The morning before I recorded this interview, I shared my plans with the members of our free private Facebook group, and I asked you, the small firm architect, to share your thoughts and your questions for me to ask during the interview. And I was overwhelmed by your response. Even days following the interview, members continued to provide their open and honest questions and feelings regarding how NCARB serves the small firm community. I thought that discussion was so valuable that I shared the entire thread, without any names or identification, so don't worry, with NCARB, with the leaders. And I offered to organize a live webinar so members of this community and the leaders of NCARB might have the opportunity to interact and learn from one another. So stay tuned for that. I'm still working on it. So first of all, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts for this interview and every day at the Entree Architect Community Facebook group. It is such a valuable resource, it's such a valuable community for small firms. So I thank you. I also want to thank Christine Harding and Greg Ernie for taking time out of their very, very busy schedule during the expo, during the convention, the conference, to speak with me and to answer our questions and provide some very valuable information about NCARB and for clarifying how NCARB is in fact serving the small firm. So thank you again, Christine and Greg. I appreciate your time and I appreciate the information and I look forward to our continued discussion. I also want to thank Samantha Miller, the senior content producer for marketing and communications at NCARB, who worked with us to arrange the interview and continues to work with us to make NCARB more accessible to our community of small firms. And if you have any additional questions or comments, or want to share your thoughts on this episode or anything about NCARB, please visit the show notes and leave a comment at entrearchitect.com/episode171. If you like the idea of a webinar bringing NCARB and Entree Architect community together, let me know. Go to entrearchitect.com/episode171 and let me know. If we have a bunch of people on that page saying they want to do that, I could bring that to NCARB and maybe they'll spend some time with us and answer some of the questions that we have, some of your questions directly from you. So do that, entrearchitect.com/episode171. And don't forget to visit the website. While you're there, go to the homepage and you'll learn about how you can access unlimited business resources, courses, training, and community at Entree Architect Community, at Entree Architect Academy. Learn all about how we can help you at entrearchitect.com. Learn all about Entree Architect Academy. My name is Mark Arlepage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Keep sharing what you know. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And Brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.